Death by Lightning in the Ozark Mountains is copyright 2007 by Roland Love and read by Daniel Campo. I stepped out onto the front porch and watched my father walk into the woods along the river to look for a cow due to give birth. A chill went through me when I saw a bolt of lightning strike a towering bluff. Something strange was going on during the past 6 months that caused many of the calves to be stillborn. The condition had spread to surrounding counties, and not even senior staff veterinarians with the federal government could figure out the cause. What made it mysterious was all of the cows that gave birth seemed perfectly healthy. Everybody was so spooked there was not much else on their minds. I had bad dreams because every time I went to town with Dad, the farmers at the coffee shop had a new theory. The last I heard was tick fever, and as luck would have it, the night before I found a blood-sucking deer tick with its head buried in the skin under my arm. When my father had not returned by midday, my mother called the sheriff. He found him, dead on the ground, crushed by a falling rock. In an instant, the problem of stillborn calves became nothing compared to life from then on for my mother and me. I stared down at the shiny black casket as though a hypnotic trance had closed the windows to my soul and left me living inside my mind. I looked up from the open grave as Reverend Thompson tossed a handful of dirt into the October wind and began to pray. Raymond was a God-fearing man called early by his Maker. Overcome, I turned away from the family burial site and ran down the hill past our white farmhouse, past my father's 1939 Chevy pickup, and onto the horse barn. Panic took control of my reasoning. Bridle in hand, I ran out the door of the barn, chased by the devil. Winged shadows of a startled flock of pigeons darted across my path as they fluttered toward the woods, a place I had been afraid to go since getting lost there as a child. I slipped the bridle on my quarter horse, Freedom, leaped onto her bareback, and with one swift kick to her sides, she bolted through the barnyard gate. Her hooves pounded the dirt road, gait smooth and fast. I grabbed the mare's mane and hugged her sides with my legs. "Faster!" I yelled, even though she was running so hard I hung on with all my might. Dressed in my Sunday best blue suit, red tie flapping in the wind, I felt strangely out of place mounted on the big black mare. Sunlight streaked through rolling dark clouds and onto yellow maple leaves that lined the road. A golden glow was cast onto the ground. Tears covered my cheeks. I was drowned in sadness. "I hate you, God!" I screamed. "I wish it were me that was dead!" The sound of my voice split the cool autumn air like the blade of a knife and echoed off the towering bluff along the river. Freedom splashed across a spring-fed creek, stumbled up the bank, and walked into the overgrown woods. I looked up ahead and realized why I had raced down the road. Like a magnet, the nightmare of my father's death drew me to where the accident happened. The closer I came, the more I wanted to turn and run. I spotted a jagged section of rock lying beside the water's edge and knew it was the weapon of death. I looked at the face of the bluff and saw where a piece of the ledge had broken away. "Why?" I shouted. My angry voice disturbed the peaceful sound of the gurgling water flowing under a layer of fog that hovered over the creek. Startled by my anguish, a gray squirrel scurried to the top of a nearby hickory tree and filled the ominous scene with the sound of warning danger chatter. I tried to imagine the reddish-brown stain on the rock was the blood of a slaughtered animal, or a blemish permanently embedded millions of years ago when a deep ocean covered the land. It was all that remained from the accident. I wished I had been there when the ledge broke loose. Maybe I would have warned my father. I dropped the reins around Freedom's shiny neck and slid along her steaming wet sides. I lay face down in a bed of fallen leaves. I raised my head when I heard someone walking. It was the crunching sound of gravel underfoot, made by rubber-soled boots, the kind my father wore. Maybe everything was a dream and the boulder had not yet fallen. "Dad, look out!" I yelled as I jumped up off the ground. I hurried to catch up to the sound of his footsteps as they went down a trail into the deep woods. Dancing shadows on the narrow, overgrown trail surrounded me. When I looked up, my heart pounded even harder. Sitting on the low-hanging branch of a sycamore tree was Uncle Henry. He was dressed in a red flannel shirt, jeans, and a pair of black work boots. It was the same outfit he wore the day he died 5 years earlier. "You've grown since we last talked, Tommy," Henry said as he ran his fingers back through his dark hair. His blue eyes flashed down at me with a familiar smile. "Hard to believe you're 12. I stumbled backwards. "What are you doing here?" I asked. I remembered the funeral as if it were yesterday. He looked so peaceful lying in the casket. If I had not known better, I would have thought he was asleep and not really dead. "Don't worry your cotton top about it none. Everything'll be okay. Uncle always took good care of you. You know that for sure, Tommy." He's right about that, I thought. We used to float the river a lot, and he taught me how to catch fish. During the summer, I would help Uncle Henry and Dad plant a truck patch garden where we grew watermelon and sweet corn, and sold it alongside the road from the back of a wooden hay wagon. "I know you always took care of me." I started to recall how he grabbed my arm and pulled me out of the pond when I fell in the water one day while I was chasing a yellow butterfly. I stopped when Uncle Henry reached in his shirt pocket and took out a silver railroad watch. A gold chain dangled to his waist. The watch brought back memories of the horrible accident when a log broke loose and rolled off of a flatbed truck, crushing him to death. On his last breath, Uncle Henry gave the watch to my father. "Hard to believe you're in the deep woods all alone, Tommy. After you got lost that time, you said you'd never come back. Good thing your old hound dog Trouser found you that day and started barking." "I had to come into the woods. I'm looking for my dad." "Stick with me and you'll be all right." Uncle Henry hopped down from the branch and put his arm around my shoulders. "Come along, Tommy. Let me show you something and tell you a few things along the way." Uncle Henry looked up at the heavens and there was a moment of silence, during which time I figured he was sorting out what he wanted to say, after which we started down the trail. "When your dad and I came back from the Vietnam War, we stood in a warm, soaking rain at your grandparents' graves and relived our lives. We remembered the great times we had growing up and how blessed we were to have loving parents. They taught us the art of kindness. We talked about the pains of war, the friends we lost in battle, the suffering of so many innocent people in the name of peace. We gave a prayer of thanks to be back home, safe in a country where destiny could be directed by free will." Uncle Henry paused for a moment to catch his composure. It would seem impossible for a dead man to cry, but when I gave him a quick glance, I saw tears in his eyes. He paused a moment and gained his composure. "People hurry through life and don't take the time to enjoy simple pleasures. God sent things like a sunset spread across the sky at the close of the day, the laughter of children reflecting an innocent and simpler time, a hug for someone you appreciate to show that they are loved. These things give life meaning and build memories. It is the journey and what we see along the way, not how many material possessions we gather in a rush to reach the destination." Uncle Henry looked down at me and smiled. "Just like you, Tommy. Your father and I were lucky. Our parents taught us well. Remember, we are all connected to one another on this earth. No matter what color we are, rich or poor, our lives are woven together for a reason. One of the best things to hold on to in this world is a friend. You never know when you may need a shoulder to lean on." We looked at one another for some time, and while I thought about what he had told me, he came up with one of the strangest things I could have imagined. "The reason all the cows have given birth to stillborn calves is because of a climate change. A warm, dry spring, followed by several hard freezes, allowed a toxin to develop in grasses eaten by the cows. This is the beginning of things to come, which has been caused by the progress of man. As we approached the clearing, I saw my father looking down at the blood-stained boulder. "He's alive!" I shouted. My dad was not wearing his hunting clothes and rubber-soled boots he had on when he left the house before the accident. He was dressed in his Sunday best, dark blue suit with a red tie, just like mine, instead. "It's me, Dad," I said. My father smiled, turned around, and walked away. The image of a stained glass window appeared in the sky, like the one behind the altar in the Methodist church. "Don't follow your dad," Uncle Henry said. "You can't go where he's headed." I looked at Uncle Henry and wondered if he had taken leave of his senses. When I turned back around, my father had disappeared. A ray of sunlight streaked through the gray skies, and a voice said, "All things will pass." I looked up to see if it was Uncle Henry, and I was face to face with the black-vested chest of Reverend Thompson. "Didn't mean to scare you, Tommy." He patted me on the shoulder. "Your mother's very worried." I looked around, hoping to catch a last glimpse of my father or Uncle Henry, but they were gone. "I know it's hard. You must believe that all things will pass." Reverend Thompson and me walked out of the deep woods together. I mounted Freedom as he climbed into his pickup and we started toward home. When we walked into the front yard of the farmhouse, Reverend Thompson reached into his pocket and pulled out the familiar silver railroad watch attached to a gold chain. "I meant to give you this earlier," he said. "It was in your father's hand when we found him." I stared at the watch and my eyes filled with tears. I turned around when I heard the call of a bobwhite quail echo off the bluff by the river. In the distance, across the hay meadow, I saw myself swinging the silver watch back and forth as I followed Uncle Henry and my father into the deep, dark woods.